This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome to Resource Center, the show where we discuss the tools and techniques you need to be at the forefront of the ever-evolving world of business. This is Audrey Raj. Now, on the 1st of January this year, new amendments to the Industrial Relations Act came into force, and they affect unfair dismissal cases, direct appeals against industrial court awards, and harsher penalties for non-compliance of awards, among others. And apparently, these amendments have not been well received by some parties, as they may put employers specifically at a disadvantage. Now, to break these amendments down for us and how they will affect corporations and SMEs moving forward, especially during this movement control order, we have online with us right now Leonard Yeo, partner and head of dispute resolution and employment and industrial relations practice groups at Tay and Partners. Leonard, thank you for taking the time to join us.
Hi, thanks for your welcoming message, Audrey.
So, Leonard, I just want to start off with a little background into the Industrial Relations Act. What is the act proper, and what was the purpose of this act when it came into force in 1967?
Okay, to be precise, the act is actually to promote and maintain industrial harmony and to provide for the regulations of relations between employers and workmen. I think for those who are not familiar, workmen means employees, it means workers, it means those under the definition of workmen. Amongst practitioners or even lawyers, of course, we are well aware that, you know, workmen is actually defined in the IRA. That is even wider than the definition of employees under the Employment Act. And the trade, their trade, meaning the employers and the workmen's trade unions, and the prevention and settlement of any differences or disputes arising from their relationship, and generally to deal with trade disputes and matters arising therefrom. This is actually the preamble of the Industrial Relations Act 1967 of Malaysia.
So these new amendments, what do they entail, and how does it affect us, the workmen, and of course employers as well?
Okay, these amendments generally will improve and protect the workers' rights, and they are supposed to be a move towards bringing the country's labour legislation in line with international standards. So majority of the amendments actually tilted towards the employees. But we need to question ourselves that have the employers' rights been compromised unnecessarily? Meaning, while we need to progress, but at the same time, has it caught a reaction to this moving on that would push the employers' rights to move us backwards? That will be my summary of what I see as the recent amendments that entails. Yeah.
Can we perhaps go through those amendments? Just explain to us what they entail.
Okay, one of the more significant ones would be the appeal process for an award that is being granted at the industrial court. At present, or rather prior to 1st January 2021, if parties are not satisfied with the awards being made by the chairman or the president of the industrial court, what you do is that you will review that decision by going through a process we call judicial review, where the courts would intervene and make a decision to examine the decision-making process of the industrial court. Industrial court, generally, they are, they can be considered as executives. So they are part of the government. So when a government body or an executive makes a decision, or in the process of making that decision, have not been complied with, for example, or purportedly not in compliance with the usual practice or the law, then it is up to challenge. You could actually challenge it at the High Court by way of a judicial review. But with the new amendments, award by the industrial court, the new avenue now is actually to appeal instead to the High Court. So instead of a judicial review, i.e. an administrative challenge, you go by way of a judicial, the normal judicial process by filing of an appeal as if it's a civil a judgment from the civil courts, from the lower courts. You know, we call it either the magistrate or the sessions court. You actually appeal to the High Court. And this is actually very significant because I'll go a bit slightly legal, but it actually affects the livelihood of companies as well as individuals as well. Because in the past, when industrial cases are being challenged at the High Court by way of judicial review, you can do it all the way up until the federal court where new laws are created. So in our Malaysian jurisprudence, our jurisprudence of case laws, the laws that have been created by the judges of the past, we have many administrative actions. And of course, namely as a result of challenges to the Industrial Relations Court awards, we have a lot of administrative action and precedents, judicial precedents that have been decided at the federal court, and hence they have become laws. They have become, the laws to be followed by, you know, subsequent cases. And in the past, majority of administrative decisions are as a result of challenges made from the industrial court. But with the new amendments, now the appeals are treated as if it is actually a subordinate court, a sessions court decision. So you can no longer go to the federal court, not even applying for leave to appeal to the federal court. So it means it would curtail the development of administrative law. And why administrative law is so important? It affects each of our livelihoods because it is actually challenging the decision-making process of the executives, of the government. So when we are not happy with certain decisions of the government, the general provisions of the law is to challenge it by way of judicial review. And through the years, we have developed the law through this channel from the industrial court of judicial review process, you know, how this this administrative law has been developed. And we have to be thankful for many of these decisions that which has guided the livelihood of all of us. But now, with this curtailment, we no longer can actually go all the way to federal court. So to me, this is actually a huge change and a direction that I'm not sure whether it will be good for the country.
Right. Yeah. Now, I also understand, Leonard, that the new amendments affect unfair dismissal cases, as well as it imposes harsher penalties for non-compliance of awards. Would you care to elaborate on those points?
Yes. In fact, the provisions in the past for non-compliance of an award or even the general provisions of the Industrial Relations Act, they were merely fines of 2,000 and 5,000. They have actually increased it to 50,000. And those are actually, to me, it is actually positive because it makes awards or provisions of the IRA, the Industrial Relations Act, to make it more significant. People will pay attention to it. People will comply with the awards and so on and so forth. And from an increase from 2 and 5,000 to 50,000, you know, it's quite significant.
Wow,
you know? Yeah.
Yes, it is. And when it comes to unfair dismissal cases, I mean, I ask this specifically because in the current economic environment and with everyone, you know, kind of jittery about job losses and being unemployed, and if they were to take up an unfair dismissal case, you know, how do these amendments affect unfair dismissals?
Okay, another amendment to me, which is just as significant, or if not one of the most significant ones, is the what we call automatic referral of complaints by employees, you know, after there has been a dismissal, whether rightfully or wrongfully, when there is a complaint. In the past, there is a filtering process, i.e., if there is a complaint being lodged at the Industrial Relations Department, there will be a conciliation process to see if it can be settled. If no settlement is possible, then the Director General of the Industrial Relations would have to refer the matter to the Minister of Human Resources. And it is for the Minister to refer it to the Industrial Court. But with the new changes in law, Now, we call it an automatic referral. But what it simply means is that now when the parties are unable to reach a settlement in cases of wrongful dismissal, the DGIR, i.e. the Director General of the Industrial Relations, would have to refer the complaint straight to the industrial court. So coming back to your question about the situation of dismissal, or perhaps we are talking about even retrenchment over the last 10 to 12 months because of the COVID-19 and the MCOs and the CMCOs in Malaysia, there has been an increase of termination, either by way of a direct termination as a result of some other reasons apart from retrenchment, but mostly you hear about or you read about the retrenchment rates are on the rise. So what it means, if the employees are not happy, just like in the past, they go to the industrial relations department. But with the previous law, up until 31st of December 2020, when they lodge a complaint, they are not necessarily referred to the industrial court. They are a filtering process. There will be officers at the Ministry of the Human Resources to decide whether this is fit to be referred or whether they are just frivolous complaints or frivolous claims. But now it would appear with the new amendment that the DGIR does not have a choice. But instead, once there is no settlement, there you go. You have to refer it to the industrial court. And what does that tell us? You know, it will create a lead-on effect with the existing backlog of cases. Also, because of COVID-19, the industrial court has been closed for many months, you know, in different periods for the past 12 months. It was recently reopened. So because of that, many cases have been actually adjourned or kept in abeyance. And then with the rise in retrenchment, can you imagine every single employee who is not happy? It is their option and it is up to them to actually file a complaint with the Industrial Relations Department. And if the law only permits the DGIR to have automatic referral to the industrial court, it also means that the courts will be flooded. So it also means that whether this is forward or backward is up to you to decide. Previously, if there are 100 cases, now you're talking about having 1,000 cases, for example. When do you get your turn to be heard? So it may actually backfire, you know, when you have this thing that meant to expedite the whole process, but you ended up not having cases heard within a year or 2 years or 3 years. That and that will be bad.
Okay, Leonard, it's time for us to take a quick break now for some messages. But when we come back, we'll delve into the general feedback on these amendments, the timing of these amendments, and how they will impact SMEs and what it means in this business environment. All that is coming up on Resource Center. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Building Future Malaysia. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
You are listening to Resource Center. This is Audrey Raj. Online with me right now, I have Leonard Yeo, partner and head of Dispute Resolution and Employment and Industrial Relations Practice Groups at Tay and Partners. And we've been discussing the new amendments to the Industrial Relations Act that came into force in January this year. Now, Leonard, before the break, you were talking about the question of whether these amendments is a move forward or backwards. What has the general feedback been like on these amendments?
Generally, for the employees, it is a welcome change because it does move things more expeditiously on paper, in the sense that in the past, if you talk about references, you know, on the point that I've discussed before the break, references in terms of to the industrial court, many of the employees got stuck there because they are being filtered by the minister. But now the new laws allow, for automatic referrals. It also means that, you can be sure that your case will be heard. You will have your day in court, they call it, right? But for the industry, it could be a nightmare. Why am I saying that it's a nightmare? Can you imagine, particularly the SMEs, the smaller companies? And some of them during the COVID-19 period, during the MCOs, they have no choice but to retrench employees to keep their businesses afloat. And as it is, they are struggling to actually stay alive. And, you know, they may have no choice, but to the minds of many employees, if these laws are to be used to their advantage,
right,
they could easily file a claim, and knowing that the employees would have to be, you know, forced to appear in court to defend the claim. And, you know, you may end up having so many frivolous cases, and the companies may end up having paying extra legal fees just to engage lawyers to defend such claims. And, you know, if I may put it bluntly, some employees may even blackmail the employers to say that, you know, you want to
threaten.
Yeah, you may make this go away. You pay me a sum. If not, I file a claim. You have to pay your lawyers anyway. I'm not giving ideas to the employees, but, you know, it does sound a bit scary to the employers. And there is one more change that, you know, that to many is quite significant, is that in the past, because the Section 20 Industrial Relations Act action, after a dismissal, you actually go to the court to claim for reinstatement. And in the past, since it's a personal action, if you do pass away, you know, if the workman, the employee, or the complainant actually passes away, the claim ends there because your claim is for reinstatement and you can't reinstate a dead person, a deceased. But now with the new laws, once a complaint is filed and subsequently, you know, if the person passes away, the claim continues.
Is this for remuneration and wages for the family of the deceased?
Yeah, it's for back wages as well as compensation in lieu of reinstatement to be paid to the next of kin. So in that sense, that whether how practical this would be, it is still a big question mark, because in all court proceedings or for that matter, for full trials, you need witnesses. And the claimant, or in this case, the workman, would obviously be the key or main witness. If the person is no longer around, you can't even testify. How are you going to sustain a claim against the company? So, again, these are some of the practicalities that needs to be ironed out. And, perhaps the laws will have to be developed in the courts in the years to come.
I also want to talk about the timing of these amendments, Leonard. Is it significant that this is happening during the pandemic, during movement controls, and especially when businesses are under a lot of pressure? Because it just seems like this is being done at a time where employees need their concerns to be taken more seriously by the industrial court. Am I understanding this correctly, or is there more to it?
Okay. The timing, depending on which perspective you're looking at or which way you're coming from. Again, you know, I reiterate myself, for employees, of course, it's great. You know, it's like there'll be more employees out of job, you know. Of course, many of them will be retrenched. There will be others who are not, because of a redundancy situation, you know. Perhaps they have been terminated because of poor performance, or they have committed some misconduct, so on and so forth. But certainly there are more complaints at the Industrial Relations Department now because of the rise of dismissal of employees as a result of redundancy. And the timing of the Act being coming into force this year would mean that the industrial court would be busier, because there will be many, you know, hundreds or thousands or tens of thousands of claims being lodged at the Industrial Relations Department. And with the automatic referral means that the industrial courts will be flooded. But if you're looking from the perspective of the industry or from the employers, then it will be a nightmare. Can you imagine? Is that when you're trying to recover, you know, now we are at the recovery stage and many states are in their CMCO. Of course, unfortunately, you know, in KL, we're still in MCO. But most companies are trying to recover what they have lost during the past 11 to 12 months. And with all these things piling up on them, the pressure of claims, litigation against them, how do you expect, you know, the companies and companies, the industries are taxpayers themselves. You know, in fact, they're the larger taxpayers. And this would, of course, severely affect their recovery process. So if you ask me whether it's good timing or not, it's depending who you're speaking on behalf. You know, if it is for the company, oh, definitely it's actually bad news. Yeah.
Are there any other significant impact to SMEs?
It is affecting SMEs more than perhaps the multinationals or the PLCs, the public listed companies, because many of these small SMEs, they are quite labor intensive. They one of their highest overheads would be the labor cost. And with this environment, you know, being created by the new laws that favors the employees more than the employers, how would this, you know, if even large companies are affected so severely, you know, can you imagine the SMEs who are so labor intensive and, you know, having a large portion of their overheads, you know, on labor costs, and if for whatever reasons they have terminated some employees because of retrenchment, and what they would have to go through despite, you know, the termination so-called was done properly. What I meant done properly is that perhaps some of these employees have also been paid termination benefits and so on and so forth. But because of such new laws, they may end up going to court to defend themselves unnecessarily as well. Like you said, there will be threats and so on. So obviously, they will be severely affected.
Just a question on a technicality. Does this mean that cases after January 1st are the only ones that will fall under these new revisions to the Act?
It applies to those representations or complaints made at the Industrial Relations Department after 1st of January. So, for example, from 2nd of January 2021, you file a complaint against a company. But you could have been terminated, for example, 2 months earlier. So within 60 days, you actually lodge a complaint. But instead of lodging it on the 31st of December, you made your representation, they call it, or, you know, put it simply, you actually lodge a complaint with the Industrial Relations Department on 2nd of January 2021. This law applies. Then it takes like, you know, a couple of weeks before a conciliation meeting is actually called by the conciliator at the Industrial Relations Department. And if there is no settlement, it goes to the industrial court. So that's when recently, if you follow the news, the industrial court is already having backlog because of the closure for the many months. And now, from this year onwards, with all these new cases being referred to the industrial court, I really do not know when the employees or even the employers will have their day in court, because it will all be push ahead, you know, push back rather. And, you know, perhaps, you know, you only see the day in court perhaps next year or in 2 years' time, because there's just too many cases being referred.
Mm. So, Leonard, before I let you go, what are the possible steps for redress? How do we remedy the situation? Is that even on the cards? Is it even possible?
Well, the amendments, they actually aim to actually expedite the referrals, expedite the hearing, and to make dispute resolution more efficient at the industrial court. But because of the MCO and the closure of the courts for many months, certainly this would not be, it would not work out as how the government would wish it would be. So in order to redress all this, you know, perhaps they will have to appoint more industrial court chairmen. You know, industrial court presidents will have to appoint more chairmen at the industrial court. We need to create more courts, or perhaps to equip the courts with more online hearings. You know, some of the cases are also adjourned because they have witnesses who are actually based overseas. So instead of further adjourning all those hearings and trials, you actually equip the courts with full video conference facilities, so that, or perhaps having night courts, you know, to extend it beyond, you know, 4 or 5 p.m. in order to deal with, you know, the number of cases being referred to the industrial court, meaning more courts, more industrial court chairman, chairlady, or you may need to equip them so that, like many other countries, they conduct full trials online, meaning the witnesses are lawyers, could be in different countries, but we just have to dispose of all these cases, you know, to reduce the backlog. And with the new laws having increased backlog, I think the government needs to do something about this. Yeah.
Thanks for that, Leonard. I've been speaking with Leonard Yeo, partner and head of Dispute Resolution and Employment and Industrial Relations Practice Groups at Tay and Partners. Now, if you missed out on any part of the show, the podcast of this interview will be up on our website, bfm.my, within the hour. You can also catch up on all our podcasts on the BFM app, on iTunes, and on Spotify. We'll be back again same time next week for more Resource Center. But till then, this is Audrey Raj signing off for Enterprise, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.